Welcome. You are listening to the podcast of Transform Church Philly. Thank you for joining us.
Hey everyone, Pastor Bodhi here. Welcome back to Church at Home, TC at Home. Welcome back to this online experience. Thank you for joining us today, whether you're watching in your living room, kitchen, dining room, wherever you are. Thank you for joining us today. Let's start like we always do. Let's just extend our hands in prayer and welcome the presence of God into our very own environment. Father, thank you for being here with us today. We're excited. We can't wait to hear the word that you have for us today. We love you. We appreciate you. We open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit, to come in and do what only you can do in our lives. Father, we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Somebody type in or shout or scream amen wherever you are. Come on, somebody. So we are in week number 3 of this series that we have kicked off 2021 with, called New Year, New You. This idea that God is a God of the new. Come on, new beginnings, new mercy, new breakthrough. Come on, new healing. And the big idea that this series is carrying is this: anything new that God does, like anything new that God does on earth to us, requires a new song to make it known. What we mean by that, man, that whatever God does, come on, we're repackaging a thought with our big idea. Whatever God does requires our participation. In fact, the thought that we have been driving home these last few weeks is, with God, the new is really up to you. God has declared in his word, God has communicated to us, man, the promises, his dream, his vision for our lives, the things that he wants to do. But man, with God, the new is up to you. What God does in our lives, in large part, is up to us. That's why you see, on one hand, you find one person encountering God and experiencing God, reaching out to God in faith, and as a result of that, seeing real change in their lives. And then you have another person who hasn't quite figured out that it takes faith to please God, that obedience is required, that repentance is part of it, and reaching for God. And so they struggle in their experience of God. Come on, can I say to you again this morning that with God, the new is up to you. What we are really talking about in this series, we said this last week, is we're learning, we're showing you from the Word of God how to make the transition from wanting to be different to actually being different. Come on, somebody, I like that. What we are learning, what we are about in this series, is learning how to make the transition from the old you to the new you. Come on, somebody. It's learning how to make the transition from wanting a better home, a better marriage, a better mental focus, to actually experiencing the promises of God in these many areas for our lives. And so here's the thing: you and I could choose to do what we've always done. We could choose what we want now over what we want most. But come on, we're believing that there's something new, there's something better, something greater waiting for you. This series is all about discovering how to let go of the old, how to let go of the status quo, and focus in, laser in on who God says you are and what he, come on, that's what the new is all about. It's focusing in on who God says you are and what he wants for your life. Pastor Bodhi, what's the new all about? What are you talking about, the new? It's who God says you are and what he wants for your life. So week one, we started with, if you want a new you, come on, you need more God. That's undeniable. Week two, we said last week, this was a good talk. And if you haven't watched that yet, go onto our YouTube or our Facebook and watch that. If you want a new you, you got to start with a good attitude. Come on, we unpacked David and we unpacked the story of David and Michael last week. Today I want to go in, I want to go a little further, I want to go a little deeper this morning. Here's the thought we'll be unpacking this morning for the next 20-25 minutes is this: if you want a new you, you need the right people. Come on, somebody. Pastor Bodhi, here we go again. If you want a new you, you need the right people. In fact, let me say it this way. If you want to make a success of 2021, you're going to need good friends, not toxic people. I say that one more time. If you are going, you and I, if we're going to make a success of 2021, come on and unpack the things and, man, walk in the things that God has for us this year. We're going to need to have good people in our corner, cheering us on, giving us advice. Come on, challenging us, correcting us. We're going to need good people, not toxic friends. Have you ever heard the saying, life would be so much easier if it wasn't for people? Come on, if you've ever heard that, go ahead and type an amen into the comment section. Or if you have ever thought that, man, my life would be so much better if not for these people or those people in my life. And that is partially true. What we should actually be saying, or what the Bible teaches us, is this: life will be so much easier. Life is so much easier and better with good friends, with the right people. And life becomes much, much, much harder and difficult with the wrong people in your life. And as I was getting ready for this sermon, the Holy Spirit took me back to when I first came to America in 1996. And to an encounter I had in New York City. I had gone to New York for some visa thing, and I was getting ready to travel somewhere, and I had to get a visa to leave the U.S. to go to where I wanted to go. So I had to go downtown to Manhattan. You know, Manhattan got all these tall buildings, and I walked into the lobby, and I went to the elevator. And opening it up, and there was this guy sitting in the elevator, and that was my first encounter with a bellhop or an elevator guy. And bellhops and elevator guys have been, they're very few now, but they were very prevalent in America. It's an American concept. New York, LA, Chicago, where you have high-rise buildings, there'll be somebody. They were very prevalent in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. They've since become less and very rare now. And their job, is to help people get up and get down. And so the building, and so I walk into the elevator and I watch this guy, and he asks me where I want to go. I was, you know, I wasn't expecting that. And so he presses the button and he takes me up, and I began to look at him and I asked him the question. I said, dude, what do you do here? And he says, I was just trying to find out what he did. And he said, my job is to take, he was an immigrant like me, so I was, you know, kind of relating with him. And he said, my job is to press these buttons and take people up to where they want to go or down to the exit of the building. My job is just to help people go up, get where they want to get to, their destination, or get down. And as I was getting ready for today, kind of putting some thought to this sermon, the Holy Spirit put this illustration front and center as my intro illustration, with the thought that this relationships are like elevators, or like the bellhop. They help us get up to next levels, to they help us achieve destiny, or, man, wrong ones can bring us down. The thought around this illustration that the Holy Spirit impressed on my heart is that relationships can bring you up and they can take you down, depending on who it is and which buttons they're pressing. Here's the thing, relationships, and this is something that you and I, we feel and we know. Maybe you can't put it into words, but what I'm about to say to you is something that all of us will say, Pastor, you're actually right about that. Here's the thought. Relationships affect the human experience like nothing else. In fact, look at your life right now. Take a quick snapshot of your last 24 months, your best moments. Come on, your best moments, the highlights, your highlight reel. Can I tell you that good people were likely a part of those moments, right? Think about your worst moments. Think about the over the last 24, 36 months, your worst memories, your biggest regrets, your deepest failure, your worst pain. You probably would agree and say, Pastor Bodhi, people were involved with that as well. Here's the thing, and here's where I'm going to this morning. It's critical in life. If we're going to succeed, if we're going to be the people of God, if we're going to thrive in our marriages and our careers and as human beings and as believers who want to impact the world with the gospel, it's critical to think through the people aspect of how you live. Come on, it's critical that we think through, that we strategize, that we prayerfully discern the people aspect of how we live. What I mean is, like, who we are choosing to do life with, who we are allowing into proximity, who we are getting intimate with, who in a sense is riding the elevator of life with us. If you let toxic people in, you pay a staggering price. I know it's easy for us to think that success lies only in ideas, creativity, execution, education, career, money, work, come on, hustle and grind. But listen to me, the real key to success in life is always people. Come on, the real key. Come on, can I slow down for a second here? The real key to success in life is always people. What you accomplish in life is often most powerfully shaped by who you allow into your life. Let me say that again. What you and I accomplish in life, is powerfully shaped by who we allow into our lives. If we let toxic people in, we pay a staggering price. Many of us are feeling that right now. Man, the regret and the pain and the sorrow around people, around toxic people, around the wrong relationships. Here's the thing. My guess is that not all of us will be thrilled about the direction or even the language in this sermon today. I get that. Like, you're okay with who's in your life. Maybe you even like who's in your life right now. Maybe you're thinking right now, PB, here you go again, trying to tell me how to live my life. I'm not trying to tell you how to do anything. I'm certainly not trying to tell you how to live your life. My goal as your pastor and what I want to do this morning, and what we do with every sermon, is show you how God says you should live your life, so that you can get the best out of your life. Come on, my job, my goal is to show you from the Word of God how God says you should live your life, so that you can in turn get the best, come on, the best out of the life that you live in. This church, our heart is, come on, we are pursuing the best possible outcome for our church people, for anybody who calls TC their home. Here's the thing, every single day, amazing people like you and I miss their mission, miss their purpose, miss joy, miss real satisfaction because they allowed someone toxic to sabotage the work of God in their lives, like what God is doing. And every day, good people are discouraged and defeated and turn back and give up and quit because the wrong people are too close to them. All you have to do to know that what I'm saying is true is take a second and scroll through your posts, the posts, your social media feed, or review your last 20 text conversations to recognize that if we're honest, there's people in our lives that, man, that maybe those people shouldn't be as close as they are to us. Come on. Here's the thought that we've said time and time again at this church. The quality of your life and your future is determined by the quality of your relationships. Can I tell you again this morning, if you want to experience a new you this year, you're going to have the right people. If you want to make a success of 2021, we are going to need to have good people, godly people surrounding us, not toxic, unholy people. Come on, somebody. The quality of your life and future is determined by the quality of your relationships. I can't start this year. Come on, I can't, as a pastor, as when I interact with God's word, I can't start this year without teaching our church, our people, about relationships. So today I want to unpack this idea, this thought, that according to the word of God, that there are basically three types of people that you're going to encounter, that you're encountering right now. How you interact with them, how you deal with them, go a long way to impacting the quality of your life. Our first thought this morning is that there are basically three types of people. According to the Word of God, if you look at the Word of God, according to Jesus, according to Paul, David, Peter, Solomon, Moses, come on, every biblical figure, this comes out. There's three types of people in life. I know it probably seems simple to divide the world into just three categories of people, but this is what the Word of God shows us in its simplicity, that there are three categories of people. In fact, the best-selling author and clinical psychologist, Henry Cloud, inviting his book called Necessary Endings, he wrestled with this idea. But he too came to the conclusion that according to the Word of God and in life, there are basically three categories of people, just three types of people that we're going to meet this year that are already in our lives already. And how we interact with these three categories of people will go a long way to determine the quality and the direction of our lives this year in 2021. New year, new you. If we're going to experience the new you, the dream, come on, who God says you are. And again, when we talk about the new, that's what we're referencing, who God says you are and his plans for your life. If we're going to experience that, then we need to have the right people in our lives. We need to have good friends, not toxic people. And so I want to unpack the three types of people and then kind of give you some application on what to do, how to navigate those categories. And so here they are, real simple. Number one, you have wise people. Number two, you have foolish people. And number three, you have evil people. According to the Bible, we see this. There are three types of people, three characterized by three kinds, three types of behavior: wisdom, foolishness, and wickedness. Come on. These are the three categories of people or behavior that you and I, we find ourselves dealing with in virtually every situation, every relational situation, every environment we go in. You can find these behaviors, wisdom, foolishness, and wickedness in virtually every situation that we find ourselves in. Many of us, we're confronted with this right now in our marriages. Many of us, it's with our kids. Some of us, it's with our bosses. What do we do with our neighbors? What do we do? How do we navigate this? There's three categories of people or behavior that you'll find yourself dealing with in virtually any and every situation in 2021. Somebody, you at this reality, the easier it becomes to make progress through life. So what I want to do over the next few minutes, help you identify these three types of people and what to do with them. Essentially, here's the thought governing these three categories of people. Essentially, the difference between evil, wise, and foolish comes down to this one thing: how they choose to deal with truth, specifically the truth of God's word. Of God and his word. This is a big thought. What people do with the truth is everything. Their reaction to it, their response to it, their relationship with it. How people relate to the truth is a big deal. Here's the thought. How people respond to the truth of God's word determines how God responds to them. And it should determine how we choose to interact with people, especially when it comes to our intimate relationships. So here we go, the wise. Again, the difference is how the each category deals and handles, responds to the truth of God, the truth of his word, right? And so the wise people, here's the thought about wise people, characteristic. Wise people encounter truth and change. Come on, write that down. Wise people encounter truth and change. Come on, according to the word of God, the function of wisdom is not intelligence, it's not intellect, it's seeing truth, seeing God's word, and accepting it and letting it change your life. Embracing truth is the key characteristic of a wise person. When truth presents itself, the wise person sees the light, takes it in, and makes adjustments. They learn, they grow, and they get better. Let me say that again. That was good. When truth presents itself, come on, and there is no higher truth than God's word, right? And when truth presents itself, good feedback, good advice, the word of God, encouragement, come on, wise counsel. When it presents itself, the wise person sees the light, takes it in, and makes adjustments. They learn, they grow, and they get better. For example, a speeding ticket. For example, after getting a speeding ticket, come on somebody, wise people learn and they slow down. After being told that their words hurt somebody, a wise person will try to understand why, apologize, and work hard not to do it again. They're open, they're teachable, they're humble. They learn, they grow, and they tend not to make the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. What wisdom or being wise doesn't mean you're the smartest, brightest, most talented, most gifted, most charismatic, most charming. While wisdom may meet with all of these, may have some or all of these characteristics, it is completely unrelated to them. It's possible to have brilliant, listen to this, it's possible to have brilliant, charming, talented fools in your midst who are fooling you just because they are talented and they're smart and gifted. I want to show you this in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8 through 10. It says, so don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous and they will learn even more. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. How do you become a wise person, Pastor? You must first, according to the Word of God, begin to listen. Wisdom is freely available to those who will stop talking and stop paying attention to God and His Word and His people. To parents, to wise counselors, to good friends, to godly relations. Anybody, here's the good news, anybody can become wise. According to the Word of God, Proverbs is not reserved, is not reserved for a brainy elite. But wisdom, becoming wise, requires teachability and humility, man, to reach out to God, to accept correction, to, man, to lean into the things of God. The wise embrace truth as the key characteristic of their lives. They encounter truth and they change as a result. The second category of people that you are going to encounter, we are encountering right now, are the foolish. And here's the thought about the foolish. The foolish encounter the truth. Come on, they encounter the truth and they don't change. Instead, they attempt to adjust the truth so that they don't have to adjust to it. They attempt to bend God's word to fit their circumstances so that they don't have to change their hearts to adapt to God. Foolish people encounter truth and yet refuse to change. Instead, they try to adjust the truth so that they don't have to adjust to it. For example, the same speeding ticket. The same guy, a foolish person, gets the same ticket on the same street. But rather than learning from that one encounter, he justifies, makes excuses with things like, oh, the man is out to get me. Come on, somebody. I didn't see the sign. Over and over and over again. When confronted with reality or truth or a problem, a foolish person will deny, blame, minimize, create excuses, and do anything in his or her power to avoid having to deal with reality. According to one clinical psychologist, John Townsend, he says this way. He says, foolish people are characterized by their unwillingness to learn from life, to learn from their mistakes and change. He says, foolish people have a flat learning curve. And as a result, they tend to wreak a lot of havoc and cause damage in their own lives and in the lives of others. Foolish behavior means that some people will always be broke. Some chronic procrastinators will always be late. And some people keep running into the same problems again and again. They may mean well. They may have good intentions. But their lack of learning, lack of humility, lack of willingness to change, and true repentance means they keep making things hard for themselves and for others. Here's the thing. Just as wisdom doesn't necessarily mean being smart or being gifted, foolish doesn't mean being dumb or lacking talent or being ignorant. Ironically, a fool might be the smartest person in the room, the most gifted, the most charming, the best looking. But charm, intelligence, and talent or looks are no substitute for humility and obedience, which is what wisdom treasures. Let me show you this in the Word of God. Christ was showing the parable of the foolish builder and builders, the wise and the foolish builder. And he says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds his house on the sand. Let's think about this second character that Jesus illustrated his point with. He was a carpenter. He was a skilled builder. He was educated in building. He had resources, but he had no respect for the truth. He had a poor relationship with it, with the truth. And so in spite of all his education and all of his charisma and ability to build, because he didn't reverence the truth of that you can't build on sand, come on, when the storm came, the Bible says that great was the fall of his house. This man is talented, he's educated, He has resources, but he fails because he lacks wisdom. He fails because he has a poor relationship to the truth. Here's the third category of people this morning that we deal with. And man, this one, sometimes it's hard to believe this. But the reality is that there are evil or wicked people on this earth. And wicked people, man, they're characterized not that they reject truth, not that they hear truth and they wrestle or they're slow to apply it. They're characterized by wanting nothing at all to do with the truth of God's word. Come on, as hard as it is to admit, there are people in this world that you and I have interacted with that are wicked and are just really evil. What I mean is they intended to hurt you. They want to take you down. They don't want you to see you succeed. They don't want to see you follow God's plan for your life. As hard as it is to believe, come on, and we are as Christ, as God's people, we are lovers first, right? We love our enemies, but as hard as it is to believe, they actually don't have your best interest at heart, and they actually want to see you fail. You know, as a young Christian, I'm that believe, but man, 44 years old now, I've seen it enough times to recognize that, yeah, the devil is real, and there are people who are so given to him and so full of wickedness and wicked imaginations that their only agenda is to oppose God and to oppose God's plan in your life. There are evil people in your life. I illustrate that again, that same speeding ticket, an evil person doesn't care about the law, doesn't care about the police, doesn't care about who he hurts. They actually want to hurt somebody. They like speed. They don't care about the law. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't care who gets hurt in the process. Let me show you in God's word, Psalm chapter 10, verse 2 through 4. The Bible says, the wicked arrogantly hunt down the poor. Come on. That they arrogantly hunt down the poor. Then he says, let them be caught in the evil they plan for others. For they brag about their evil desires. They praise the greedy. Come on, they praise the greedy and curse the Lord. The wicked are too proud to seek God. They seem to think that God is dead. Come on, characteristic of wicked, evil people is that they want nothing to do at all. They have outright, flatly rejected the truth of God and his word. Come on, here's the thing. We have the wise, we have the wicked, we have the foolish. We can't approach each of these behaviors, each of these category of people the same way. Each requires a different strategy. Different people in these different categories, we are going to require different strategies. Come on, if you try to deal with a foolish person in the same way that you deal with the wise, come on, he or she will drive you crazy. You're going to lose time, energy, and experience a whole lot of pain. If you try to deal with the evil person at all, you might wind up losing everything that you hold dear. So it is essential that we understand quickly with whom we are dealing and take the appropriate stances that we need so we can thrive. So here are a few simple strategies to deal with these categories of people. Again, the illustration, imagine your life. Come on, imagine your life as an elevator, man. And you want to go up, but you can also go down depending on who's in there with you and what buttons they push. So number one, let's start with the evil people that are real. Here's the thought, love them, but don't let them on. Come on, like, don't let them on the elevator. What that somebody said? Shut the front door, right? Come on. Here's what I mean by that when I say don't let them on. Eliminate evil people from your life. Here's the thought. It's not our job. It's not your job to try to change wicked and evil people. It's our job to eliminate them from positions of intimacy, influence, and proximity in our lives. Again, I'll say it again. It's not our job. In fact, it's not our job to change anybody. We have one responsibility. Listen to me, church. We have one responsibility to every single person, and that is to love them. That is to love them unconditionally. We can do that to anybody, whether they're wise, whether they're foolish, or whether they're wicked. Come on. But it's not our job to change people. It's not our job to change and engage with evil and wicked people. It's our job to eliminate them, remove them. Come on, set boundaries where we eliminate them from positions of influence, intimacy, and proximity from our lives. What I mean is don't go to their parties, right? Don't go to their picnics or barbecues. Don't read their books, their blogs, or posts. Don't buy into their philosophy or ideology. Eliminate them from your life. Can I challenge us this morning or whenever you're watching this? Man, the books that we read, the movies that we watch, the content, the news that we observe, where's it coming from? Is it coming from a place of reverence or respect or honor for God? I can't tell you how many times I've found a really catchy quote or a really great blog or great post only to dig back behind that author or that person and find out that person actually hates Jesus, actually hates Christianity and everything that the gospel promises humanity. Our job is not to change evil people. Our job is to eliminate them from positions of intimacy and proximity in our lives. What I mean is love them. Learn to love them from a distance. Pray for them. I want to show you this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Paul references this man called Alexander the coppersmith. And here's what he says. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. It says in the King James, he did me much evil. But then he says, but that is no concern of mine, for the Lord will repay him according to his actions. You can see Paul just distancing himself. I'm not even going to get involved with him because it's not my job to change him. God can take care of him. But then he says to Timothy, he says, be on guard against him yourself because he vigorously opposed our message. He said, this guy, Alex, he hates Jesus. He hates the cross. So Timothy, man, don't get involved with him. Don't do life with him. He might be a person of influence as a coppersmith would have been. Don't ask him for money. Don't receive. Just put a gap between you and him. Paul says, be on guard against him yourself because he doesn't love Jesus. He doesn't even honor God. He doesn't respect the things of God. Come on, evil people, eliminate them from positions of influence. Come on, intimacy and proximity in your life. Number two, foolish people. Come on, if your life is an elevator, come on, Guyan, we're trying to go up. Come on, come on, level up somebody. We're trying to level up this year, right? Come on, better than last year. Come on, here's what we do. Here's the strategy for foolish people. Let them on, love them, but don't let them close. Come on, somebody. Come on. And certainly don't let them push the buttons in the elevator, right? Like, don't give them that authority, that access. What I mean by that is set boundaries. And here's the thing about boundaries. Boundaries are not weapons. Boundaries are walls. Boundaries are things, are postures of your heart that keep you safe. They keep the good in and they keep the bad out. Come on, here's why boundaries. Here's why you love the foolish, you let them on, but you don't let them close. Here's why. If you let that foolish person too close, too long, come on, their foolishness will soon become part of your own life. Their foolishness will soon become your problem. Come on, somebody. Let me show you in God's word. Proverbs 14, verse 24, it says this, the crown of the wise is their wealth. Come on, there's proof. There's an outcome for living in a way that pleases God. But he says, the folly of fools brings folly. Come on, the folly of fools is a magnet to more foolishness. Come on. Some of us watching today, our biggest problem is that we have unwittingly given foolish people unlimited access to our lives. And they are hurting and hindering our progress because it's just what they do. The folly of fools brings folly. Here's the thought. Some people, man, you're just not gonna be able to change some people. Come on. I remember this story when I was serving at a different church on staff, and this young woman came and she introduced her fiance. She had been coming to our church for years, and this guy was a total stranger. And so we asked her, you know, just in pastoral counseling, you know, we discerned that this guy wasn't even a Christ follower. We discerned that there was some, you know, when you go through some good counseling, which is why counsel is a good thing, right? The flags start emerging. And so some flags started emerging about this guy, and we confronted them and we told her, and her response was, oh, no, you know, I love him. He's going to change. And she uttered those words that will live forever in infamy. I can change him. I can change him. And we were like, you know, he's not a believer. You know, there's some flags here. But she kept on insisting. And we're like, okay, we can't stop you. We can only advise you. We can only counsel you. And so they got married. And man, 9 months to a year later, this same woman was back in counseling, only this time by herself, having gone through emotional abuse, verbal abuse, and sorrowfully physical abuse. Because she let someone into her life. Come on, she let someone into her life. She let someone into her life whose heart wasn't surrendered to Jesus. She let someone into her life who really wasn't headed in the same spiritual direction that she was headed in. Come on, the folly of fools brings folly. That's what I mean. Here's what I'm challenging you to do as you discern these people who the Bible describes as foolish, who are not willing to change, who are not willing to receive correction, who are not willing to let God's word rule and reign in their lives. Here's what you do. Limit the fools. And for the evil, you eliminate them. For the fools, you limit them in your life. You limit access. You don't share your dreams. You don't share your plans. Come on, somebody. You limit their voice. You limit the counsel they give you. You limit the advice you take. Here's the biggest thing I think we can do. Limit time spent. Limit how much time. We love them well, but we limit how much time, how much interaction that we have. The key to dealing with fools, or what the Word of God says is foolish people, is to limit the number of them in your life and to limit the access so you can limit the impact. Otherwise, hear me out right now, church. Otherwise, the cost of their foolishness is simply too great. Whether they mean to or not, foolish people bring folly into your life. Whether they mean to or not, foolish people can do a lot of damage, a lot of damage. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29 and verse 9, he says this, if a wise person takes a fool to court, there will be ranting and ridicule, but no satisfaction. There's no I think one of the deceptiveness of foolishness is that, man, there's talent and we there's hope and we want to change and we want to help. But, man, we have to come back to the reality that it's not our job to change people. Only God does that. As we observe people who are unwilling to respond to godly wisdom and godly counsel and the Word of God, man, begin to set boundaries between you and them and limit their access to your life. Here's the third thought today. It's simply this, is wise people. What do we do with the wise? Come on, can I tell you today that we need as many wise people as we can get our hands on in our lives as possible. Here's what we, if you're an innovator, is the illustration that we're running with today. Come on, here's what you do. Let them on, invite them on, and give them all the buttons to push. Come on, be vulnerable and be transparent. We need as many wise people in our lives if we're going to become the people that God created us to be. Here's why. We can't change by ourselves. We need God and we need God's people. What I'm saying to you is be open to wisdom. We open your life characterizing wise people as people who themselves, man, they're interacting with the truth, and you can see they're humble, they're teachable, man, they're pastorable, they're letting the truth of God's word dominate their lives. Be open to that kind of wisdom. I'm going to share a story with you this morning as we begin to end. When I first started dating Pastor Keisha, Kiki, when I first started showing interest in her, you know, one of my good friends, his name is Wendell Herman. He was in my wedding party. One of my good friends to this day, a man of authentic faith. He loved God. He still inspires me today. He came up to me and said, Bodie, I see you. Come on. I see you looking at Kiki. I see you looking at Keisha. And he gave me the head nod. He said, yeah. He said, and he was married to his wife, so it wasn't a weird situation. He was a friend coming up to me to give me good wisdom. He said, Bodie, he said, he said these words to Keisha, me and Diane is his wife. We both think she's a classy woman. She's a classy woman. What happened was he helped me see what I couldn't see. I mean, I'm looking at all the dimension, all the configurations, the outward look and the beauty and the charm of Pastor Keisha. But he helped me see something that maybe I didn't see right away. He said, "Bodhi, she's classy." Come on, I still remember that being, and I remember pausing, and I began to see my now wife differently. He helped me see what I needed to see. That's the function of wise people in your life. They'll come beside you with a word. Sometimes it might be to encourage. Sometimes it might be to correct. Sometimes just to give you another biblical, godly option. But they'll help you see what you can't see by yourself. Let me show you this. Proverbs 24, verse 6. The Bible says, "The wise strategy is required to wage war. And with many astute advisors," that's wise, "you will see the path to victory more clearly." Come, I love this verse. Wise strategy is required to wage war, to win the battle of life. And with many astute or wise advisors or the right friends or good people, you will see the path to victory more clearly. I want to show you again in Proverbs 13, verse 20. If you want to grow in wisdom, the Bible says, spend time from the passion. It says to spend time with the wise. Walk with the wicked, and you will eventually become just like them. We have to learn. Come on. Can I challenge you? Whether you're dealing with wise people, wicked people, or foolish people, we have to learn to judge. This is important. Every relationship by one standard. Is this wise? Is this person wise? Are they pursuing God? Are they humble? Are they teachable? Do they love Jesus? We have to judge. That is the standard. Not are they rich, not are they educated, not can they mentor me in my career. These are all nice things. But the one standard that is for us as a child of God that has to be non-negotiable for us is this. Is this person walking in wisdom? Here's my last thought today as we end this morning. And man, what a good word. I feel like there's deliverance happening. I feel there's clarity. Some aha moments taking place right now. Here's the thought I want to end with is this thought. Take a look in the mirror and be the wise. What I mean by that is simply this. The first place to look for wisdom and foolishness or even evil in our lives and in our relationships is also the least comfortable place to look for it. In the mirror, in our own hearts. Come on, I pray that today as we end service, and we invite our team back to worship. I pray that this week that the Holy Spirit begins to reveal and unveil the areas of lack of wisdom, foolishness, and maybe even wickedness that exists in our hearts. Here's a surprise, and I want to read one verse, but here's a surprise. You won't really have to kick anyone out of your life when you're the wise, when you choose wisdom. When your soul is ultra healthy, come on, when you're full of God's word, when you're pursuing God, toxic people, the wrong people, will leave your life automatically when they can't find any traction or get any validation for how they're living from you. James chapter 1 says this. It says, if you listen to the word of God and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face. In the beginning, you perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget your divine origins. Come on. Can I challenge us as we end out today? Man, the place to look for wisdom, for the place to begin looking for foolishness, tendencies, and evil in our lives and relationships is within. Come on, can I lead us this morning in a prayer of repentance and, come on, realignment with God? We're going to invite our team to come back and lead us in a song. And then Pastor Keisha will come back and end the service with a smile. But Father, we pray right now. I pray for every single person watching today. I pray, God, that this will be the year, man, that we lean in and we discover healthy, godly relationships. I pray, God, that you help us navigate the wise, the foolish, and the evil. And I pray you help us grab, as we navigate, God, help us gravitate towards the wise in our lives. God, bring people into our lives who are full of wisdom. God, help us love, but limit people who are not committed to receiving your truth in their lives. And Father, help us, as hard as it may be, to eliminate those people who just don't love you, who just don't want to see us do well, who are really against us. Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's worship God for a few moments.
This has been a podcast of Transform Church Philly. New episodes are produced every week, so check back often. You can find details about services and other upcoming events by visiting us at our website, transformphilly.church. Have a great day.